Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike, and me and Linda are here in studio live, looking forward to what the Lord's going to do in our midst, and just welcome to Look Up. We've currently been going through a series on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and the reason why I separate that is because we've spent time on each one. We talked about the sanctity of marriage, the importance of marriage, how God views marriage, and we talked a lot about marriage. You're going to have to just podcast us if you want to get past shows. We also talked about divorce and the do's and don'ts of divorce and the one stipulation where God actually allows for divorce is if your spouse has committed adultery on you. We talked about this whole thing of people say irreconcilable differences and we just don't get along, I married the wrong person. All the nonsense excuses people make for divorce, they don't hold marriage in high regard the way God does. And so today we're going to break into the next topic of remarriage. What does God say about remarriage? What are the do's and don'ts? What are some wise things you need to consider if you're considering remarriage? And so we're going to cover all that. Of course, it just depends on how far we get today, depending on callers and depending on Linda and I just chat through this. We talk through this, but I want to remind you, we aren't just giving you our opinion. When Linda and I look through these topics, we're looking at what does the Bible say about this topic. Today, as we break into the topic of remarriage, we're going to look at what the Bible says. That's more important than my opinion, your opinion, or anybody's opinion, okay? So, but before we go any further, I want to let you know how you could communicate and interact with us, and Linda's going to tell you all about that. So, Linda, take it.
Hello, everybody. If you want to look, there is a question, if you can see it. I don't know the answer. I don't know about the relevance with the topic we're in. But it's asking, did Pharaoh's daughter have any other children besides adopting Moses? There. If you want to do a search on that, go for it. Hi, everybody. You'll catch us just talking to each other here. That's the thing about being across the table from each other. And, oh, look, we are in our fall clothes today because we finally have a rainy day. It is so nice. Okay, if you want to be live on the radio with us, why don't you give us a call? 208-377-3790. Again, that's 208-377-3790. If you cannot handle the thought of talking live on the radio, and it's really not that scary, but if you don't like that idea, send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone. That is 208-891-2635. If you're out there in Facebook Live land, go ahead, leave a question. We've got one already here. So I don't know if you found an answer or not already.
Yeah, the answer to that question is,
I don't know. Okay, that's what I was going to say. The Bible does not tell us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, unless somebody out there has some kind of real clever, you found a verse that talks about Moses' brothers or sisters through his Egyptian mother, let us know. Text it to us or call in.
Okay, the next question she has. It's okay, we can handle these. Were Samson and Delilah married or living in fornication?
Well, that's a good question. Because
that is a good question.
There is no mention of them getting married. It doesn't look like they act, according to scriptures, it doesn't look like they got married. And anyway, according to Jewish law, it would not be proper etiquette for a Jew to marry a Philistine, and the Jews are supposed to keep separate. Everything Samson was doing at that point was wrong, okay? He was not supposed to be flirting with the enemy. He did a lot of things where he crossed the line, and he just he played with temptation, not only with Delilah, but in other areas of his life. And so, boy, what a good question, actually, because what we're talking about today with marriage, divorce, and remarriage, I think a lot of people get into trouble because they are crossing the line of what God told them to do. For instance, the Bible says not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, and yet so many Christians today will marry someone who's not a Christian. And then a year or two down the line, I don't even know if it takes that long, they start complaining, what happened? How come I'm in trouble? And how come my marriage is a mess? And they didn't follow God's instruction when it came to marriage as far as how to choose a spouse. Matter of fact, we're going to talk a little bit about that as well today as I read ahead this morning through the paper that we're going through on remarriage, just choosing wisely. That's really important. Samson was not choosing wisely. He was letting his hormones do the choosing, and he found a seductress called Delilah, and because of the way she played him, his life went downhill. Okay, so anyway, the short answer to your question, was Samson married to Delilah, is we see no evidence that he was married. I believe it was fornication, though the Bible didn't even go to the point of calling it fornication. It just said, you know, he was with this gal, Delilah. So listen, we're going to now move on to the marriage, divorce, or remarriage stuff. And I think some of your questions about these matters might even be addressed in here. We've been looking at when you are separated from your husband or wife, when you have divorced, if it wasn't biblical grounds for divorce, that the Bible tells us that you should either remain single or remarry or get back together. As a matter of fact, it's 1 Corinthians 7:11 says, well, back up to verse 10. To the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let the husband not divorce his wife. Now, here's the thing. What we're being told here is if you leave your husband or your wife right here, just in this section of scripture, you get two choices. Stay single or get back together again, okay? Now, I do believe that the cause for divorce, the accepted cause for divorce, is if there was adultery. And if that was involved, I think then this rule doesn't necessarily apply. I think that adultery annuls the marriage. Now, Linda's got something.
Well,
here,
we got one more question, and I think it's a good one. Turn the camera back on you because you're going to answer
right
it. Okay, Sanders says, last question. Was Bathsheba also guilty of adultery, being she was summoned by the king?
Good.
She was still
okay.
married.
Yeah,
I think that's a good
question.
One. That
okay.
fits in here. Good.
Now, here's the thing. You got to understand the authority structure of dynasties and kings and dictatorships and all this. Yes, Bathsheba was guilty of adultery. Okay, there's no way around it. But there was certainly a whole lot more pressure on Bathsheba than just a gal meeting some guy on the street corner and flirting. The king summoned her. Could she have said, no, I'm not going to go visit the king? Probably not. She probably had to go visit because the king summoned her. Could she have said no when he made advances to her? Yes, she could have. But keep in mind, of course, this is a tremendous pressure. You know, with this Me Too movement that's going on today, you see a lot of, actresses who, a producer, a film producer puts pressure, she really wants the job, she gives and she compromises her morals. I think it was one of those kind of things that Bathsheba was really under pressure and she compromised her morals. She should have said no. She could have said no. She probably couldn't so easily denied the request to appear before the king because he was the king and her husband was even in his service, you know. So,
but anyway, back in those days, if you denied the king anything, you could probably be put to death for it, right? Would this fit under rape? Since he summoned her and she really didn't seem to have much of a choice in the matter.
I think we could only play with guesswork if we start going there. And unless the Bible specifically says David made advances to her and she resisted at first and finally gave in, you know, there's no details given about what this encounter looked like. And so I don't want to jump to my own conclusions. All I could say is, yes, it was adultery for both of them because she was a married woman, okay? Did she have a choice in the matter? I think she did have a choice, but I think she was under tremendous pressure. And, you know, where do we go from there? You got to have some sympathy for the girl, but yet for all you women out there, there will be guys who have the ability of putting all kinds of pressure on you, whether it's your boss, whether it's a church leader. There are men who use their position of power to take advantage of women. So let me address this. This is even more important than Sandra's question here, is that there are men in power who take advantage of their position, and that's what the whole Me Too movement has been all about. People of power, maybe it's riches, maybe that they could give you a job, they could give you what you're looking for in life, and the pressure becomes great, and women give in to compromise. And then, of course, later they regret it because they realized they were taken advantage of. Everything to the slimy Bill Cosby situation, to more classy people who are rich and wealthy and will seduce a woman to give in. Gals, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you are not your own. The Bible says that you were bought with a price. You belong to Jesus Christ, and you need to hold your ground and regardless of the price. You know what? I guess this is a good place to tell the story that I told last night.
Yes.
We just began the book of Hosea on Wednesday nights, and I had heard a story of a very wealthy man who offered a woman, he says, will you go to bed with me for $1 million? And the woman thought about it for a second and said, yes, I will. Next, the man says, how about $20? And the woman was greatly offended. She goes, what do you think I am, a prostitute? And the man, the wealthy man who made the proposal, says, well, we've already established that fact. Now I'm just negotiating. And the point behind it is, you know, we tend to think that the price or the payoff justifies our compromise. You know, you think it's okay to compromise when it's this great big classy situation or it's a great big payoff. What I got out of it was worth the compromise, or rather than for $20. $1 million, it's okay to sleep with that guy. But $20, you're a prostitute. You know what? In God's eyes, they're both wrong. That not one is not justified over the other. And so something else to to consider as we look at these things, that, you know, people have all different weights and measures and they look at life, but God has one, right and wrong. And we need to realize that there is no excuse for sin. There's reasons people sin. I was tempted and I fell and I gave it. There, people have reasons, but their reasons are not excuses. Matter of fact, let me give you one more verse. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul says that no temptation is given us other than that which is common to man. And God is faithful with the temptation to make a way of escape so that you don't have to sin, okay? And I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. But the point is that nobody has to sin. According to Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:13, if you sin, it's because you chose to sin. It's not because you couldn't help it, you couldn't stop it, you couldn't say no. I realize there's different degrees of pressure, that in every situation is different and every pressure you feel is different. I understand that. But you do have the power, according to what the scriptures say, according to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:13, and you've got the Holy Spirit, and you can say no. As a matter of fact, in 1 John chapter 2, we're told that these things I have written to you, that you may not sin. That's what John wrote in 1 John. He says, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, Christ Jesus, the righteous one. The reason the scriptures are given is to give us instruction to walk upright and to not live in sin. Now, God has made a provision. If we sin, we can confess our sins. 1 John 1:9, we can confess our sins, and then he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, see, you got me going on a rant in every direction from there, okay? But I just want you to know, especially to these young ladies out there who you may be in a compromising situation, whether it's from your boss or someone you really admire, or it's even a church worker, because that's where a lot of that does take place. Yes. Somebody that a woman just trusts implicitly because this is a pastor, or this is a Christian counselor, or this is fill in the blank, but he holds a position of spiritual power. And I think many times men in spiritual positions of spiritual power are just as guilty as political power or movie stars or anything else. And I think they're going to be held more accountable before God when they take advantage of a woman because they put pressure on a woman to give themselves to them. Okay. So anyway, that's my rant
on
that.
Hey, I want to point out that the scripture Mike just quoted, that's a scripture that a lot of people say, God won't give you more than you can bear. No, that's not scriptural. We go through things we can't bear. That's why we need Christ. He won't give you, or he won't allow a temptation that is more than you can handle. That's the one that there's a promise. There is always a way out that you do not have to give in to that temptation, okay? So guys, we've been talking about some controversial things here. We've been bringing up a lot of things. If you have a comment that you want to make about that, any of these other scriptures we looked at, whether we're looking at Samson and Delilah, or we're looking at, who was it, David and Bathsheba? Who did we look at first? Oh, Moses, the daughter of Pharaoh, and I looked that one up, and nobody can give any proof that she had any children, that she may have actually been barren. So
yeah, I had friends when I was in high school used to ask me, did your mom have any kids that lived?
Bad. But if you want to add to this conversation, we welcome your voice. Give us a call, 208-377-3790. Again, that's 208-377-3790. And I want to remind you, we have extended the Look Up Show to 1 hour. So we still have like 40 minutes of our time. You got plenty of time to give us a call. And let's talk about those things that concern you too. So until then, we're going to get back to
remarriage.
Oh, and this is such a sticky topic too,
and
isn't
honestly,
it?
I really, here's the tough part of it, is there are many of you listeners, and I even recognize some of my friends from old watching right now on Facebook Live, and there are people who could really take offense at what we're going to be saying here about remarriage, because you've already remarried, and maybe you've went against what the scriptures say. You need to pick up from there and follow the Lord and get right with God. And, you know, the Lord's got to direct your life. You're not headed for hell. We're not saying you've lost your salvation. As we were talking about, I think, yesterday, is that when David was confronted by Nathan the prophet when he sinned with Bathsheba, he was busted. He was really filled with shame and horror of what he had done. And Nathan the prophet said, "You shall not die." Meaning, you know, you're not going to pay with your life for this. You'll live, but you're going to reap what you've sown. Okay, there's great consequences. And so many of you might even have stories, and you feel free to call in and tell us about that. Maybe you went against the Lord, and you divorced your wife or your husband, and you remarried, and it was against God's will, and you paid a great price. That doesn't mean that you haven't pulled out of it, and maybe you're doing well right now. It might even be good to hear some of your stories about what does it mean you reap what you sow, and what did that look like, and did you pay a price, or did everything just go fine? There's too many people out there who think, I'm not happy with this marriage, so I'm going to divorce my spouse and marry somebody else, and then I'll be happy. And surprise, surprise, surprise. It didn't turn out as wonderful and as smooth as they thought. So if you got a story on that, we'd love to maybe hear it.
I think we had a story. It might have been yesterday. I don't think it was a private message. I think it was up on the feed. But I think it might have been right at the end of the show. Is someone who ended up divorcing their husband, putting up with a lot of mental stress, getting remarried. And then after getting remarried and everything, found out. Hey, he was cheating on her too.
The whole time.
And so there might be a story like that where you may have thought you didn't do it biblically, but it comes out later. Oh, yes, I did. I had every grounds to divorce the
guy.
There's
so many varieties of stories here. And what I think it's good sometimes to put flesh on the scriptures. The scriptures are just doctrinal, and you could look at it and go, okay, do's and don'ts, do's and don'ts. But I think it's good sometimes to put a story with it that you could say, and a matter of fact, I read that same story as a person I know well or knew well at one point, and my heart went out to her. Yes. It's like, I'm not quite sure if she found out that her husband had been cheating the whole time after she got remarried or after she got divorced or where along the line, but there's lots of stories.
I think it was afterwards.
Okay, lots of stories out there, and we welcome yours about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Now, let me just continue as we're looking at what the scripture says, and I'm reading through this paper I wrote years ago on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I'm already, as we go through this, I've been updating it, and we're going to eventually, today I tried to post it on the Lookup webpage, and I didn't think it gave me an option to post a document, just photos and videos. So if you could help me with that, or if anybody
I'm working on that Lookup page.
So I want to figure out how to, as a matter of fact, another thing, I discovered we have a Lookup email address. It's lookup@cceagle.org, and I just don't know how to access it. So I have to figure that one out next. So we do have a...
You do have to have a password to get into it.
Yeah, I was going to set it up, but I found out we already have one. So anyway, okay, moving on here. Listen, I'm going to reading from the paper. The evidence of a sincere, repentant heart in a marriage partner who has divorced or desired to divorce his or her spouse under unbiblical grounds will be seen in a sincere desire and a genuine effort to reconcile with his or her spouse. Let me explain that. You almost have to read the whole paper before you get to that conclusion. Pretty much, and this is written by me a few years back, what me, and I think Jeff Brown helped me with this too, what me and Jeff were trying to say is, if you did divorce your spouse in an unbiblical way and you find yourself single right now and you're going, okay, Lord, what should I do? If you're sincerely seeking the Lord, what you should do is read the scriptures, understand God's will, and be willing to go God's way. And back again, the verse that I read to you, and I'm going to read it again, is Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Now to the married I command, not I, but the Lord. What he's about to say is a commandment from the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband. And if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. Very strong language there. We find that the Bible quite often would use a strong language that if just any old preacher stands up at a pulpit and reads it and you don't know it's from the Bible, you'll think he's a hater and he just doesn't understand, doesn't know. But this is the scripture. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, giving us not just his own personal advice, but he's saying this is what the Lord says. Don't leave your husband. Don't leave your wife. But if you do, you've got two choices. One, stay single. Two, remarry, get back with him again. Okay? So this statement that I made about the evidence of a sincere, repentant heart who's left their marriage partner, if you're sincere, you don't just go, oh, well, I divorced my spouse and I really shouldn't have. Now let's see who else is out there that I could marry. Let's start dating. No. If you realize that you have divorced your spouse and you did not have biblical grounds, your next step righteously before God is to see if there's a way to fix that marriage, to reunite with your spouse, okay? Now, we already talked about if your spouse committed adultery on you, then that frees you from this obligation, okay? But what we're going to be talking about in the next couple paragraphs is the three A's. Adultery, abuse, and abandonment. And so now this is where it gets into a gray area. And I do invite your calls. Again, the number here is area code 208-377-3790. If you've got questions or comments about remarriage. But I'll tell you what, I don't really care what your opinion is. I care about what the Bible says. If you do have a story to tell of how you made a mistake and how the Lord redeemed your marriage, we welcome that. But the number here is area code 208-377-3790. 90. Let me continue reading now. If reconciliation is truly impossible because the partner who has been left behind in an unbiblical divorce has died or remarried or has become truly and absolutely unavailable to reconcile the former marriage, we would consider the former marriage to have ended. Okay, now again, I'll remind you, when me and Jeff Brown were writing this paper, we were both working together at Calvary Chapel Boise, trying to make a doctrinal statement so that we could put it out to folks where the church stood on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And so we worked really hard at searching the scriptures to put out a doctrinal paper of where we stood on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. The problem is, I must confess, is we never did actually publish this under the authority of Calvary Boise because we never quite had 100% agreement with everybody involved that, yeah, this is where we stand. And so I kind of tucked it away. I've had this for years, and I'm looking at maybe refining it and posting it on the lookup page. So listen, if your former spouse has died, no brainer, you're free, okay? If your former spouse has committed adultery, no brainer, you are free, but that doesn't mean God can't fix that. I've known couples who've had divorce, even in horrible situations of unfaithfulness, and the Lord healed that marriage. It's not impossible, but you are not under obligation that you can't. You have to go back to that person if they're an unfaithful spouse, okay? It's funny. I told you we're reading through the book of Hosea right now on Wednesday night, and this is exactly what God told the prophet Hosea to do, is to marry a prostitute, and that he actually was to find a woman who was a prostitute and marry her, knowing she would not remain faithful to him. And even in chapter 1, it says, you will have children of whoredom. Children of prostitution, or there's another word in there they use. We looked at lots of translations. But basically, as we studied it, we wondered if any of those kids that were produced from that marriage were Hosea's. They were all marriage from somebody else. Well, one of the kids' name was not my people, it would translate it to. And I kind of wondered if when Hosea would call that son, he'd say, hey, not my kid, come over here. Because that's pretty much what he was stuck with that kind of a marriage relationship. So anyway.
And people say God wants us to be happy. Well, but Hosea had a very specific role to do. So it's not always based on our happiness and what makes us happy. We need to obey what the Lord asks us to do.
Yep, absolutely. So anyway, there is a time when maybe you divorced in an unbiblical way, and yet now your former spouse is remarried, or they are dead, or they're sexually active, and you know, and that means they're totally been unfaithful to you. That every little one of these scenarios changes the situation and has a different bearing on what you should do before God, okay? And I always encourage folks, when they want to get my opinion, is they need to read the scriptures, they need to study the Bible, and that's why I want to make this paper available to as many people as I can, because you need to know what God says about it, and then you need to move forward with a clear conscience what God tells you to do, not because Pastor Mike said it's okay, or Pastor Mike says I can't, or I can. It doesn't matter what I say. It matters what the scriptures say. And it doesn't also doesn't matter what your heart says. That's a big lie that a lot of people, oh, but my heart tells me go for it, you know? Well, Jeremiah says that your heart is exceedingly wicked beyond all things. You know, the heart is wicked. You can't trust it, okay? So even if your heart is pounding and saying yes, sometimes God could be saying no, even if your heart is pounding and saying yes, okay? So study the scriptures and then let the Holy Spirit show you the way, not your heart, not anyone's opinion, but the scriptures and the Spirit of God. So folks, this music means we're at the halfway point. And so we're going to have to take a station break, and we'll be back in about 1 minute. So see you in just about a minute.
You're listening to 94.1 The Voice, KBXL, Caldwell, Boise, radio you can believe in. Stay tuned. Mike and Linda will be right back. Look Up was recently extended to a full hour from 2:30 to 3:30 every Monday through Friday. Mike and Linda want to help you apply God's Word to your everyday life. Through Facebook Live, text, and phone, you can ask questions about what the Bible has to say about the real things that are going on in your life. To access the Facebook Live feed, be sure to send a friend request to Linda Bennett Sasso. If you would like to text the Sassos, the number is 208-891-2635. The best way to have your question answered is to call the Sassos in the studio right now. That number is 208-377-3790. To learn more about Calvary Chapel Eagle, visit calvarychapeleagle.com. Now here's Mike and Linda.
All right, that wasn't too painful. We're going to continue in this paper, and we're actually going to dive right into the right of remarriage. When do you have the right to remarry, and what are some advices, you know, godly advice that we should give you? It's funny, if you saw during the break, Linda asked me a question, took that earphone off, and we talked a bit. She was saying, should we address the issue of what if the former spouse has now gone into, has become transgender and changed genders and all this kind of stuff? You know what? Today we deal with so much more than the Bible
That would
days.
Make your spouse not available to remarry, okay?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the Bible doesn't talk about those things because it was totally unheard of in Bible days. You couldn't give yourself the hormone shots to change gender, and it's just, we've gone nuts, you know?
Well, even people that have, you know, their spouses have decided that they are a homosexual and divorce their spouse. It kind of makes them not marryable again with that. And it's just the generation that we live in that we have these kinds of questions. But when Mike said, you know, if they're, you know, they're unavailable to reconcile, well, we're talking about some of those unavailable, you know, things. And those are some of the things that people have to deal with. People I know have had to deal with those kind mm-hmm. of things, you know. Mm-hmm. And at those points, the marriage is considered to have ended. Okay? It's you can't stress over this. You can pray if you want to wait it out and see if they change their mind about it. To me, I mean, especially if they start another relationship, even if it's someone then of the same sex, that's still adultery.
Right.
Okay.
That's
so
a done deal.
So it still then clears you to be able to go ahead and be fully legitimate within the divorce biblically.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of, you know, there are many ways people become unavailable. And if your spouse no longer considers themselves heterosexual, or they're now gay or lesbian, or even transgender. Obviously, at that point, you would think they've been sexually unfaithful as well, and it just complicates matters. Okay.
Oh, we got one more question before you head into this, because this is a very good question that you can answer, and it's a very easy answer. It really is. Okay. The question is, can a pastor be married more than once if he is a widower? Let's just pull the word pastor out of there. Pastor makes no difference.
Right.
If someone is a widow or widower, are they able to get remarried? Yes. Death is one of those things that ends and nullifies the marriage then, and that person is then available to get remarried. And believe me, for a pastor, I would recommend it, okay? There's too much temptation out there. There's too many women that think that a pastor is absolutely perfect and will throw themselves at him. It's better for a pastor to have a spouse to come home to, okay? For me, just the temptation factor, it is better to have a spouse to come home to. I think that is one of the problems with the Catholic Church. If these priests had wives to go home to, we wouldn't be having some of the news that we have nowadays and some of the things that people have had to suffer in the name of God. So it's an unnatural thing. Being celibate is a gift from God. It is considered a spiritual gift. And if God has not given you the gift of celibacy, then you need to consider, maybe I should be one of those people that should be married. Okay? My opinion. Yeah. What okay. you got to add to it, babe?
There's two things that go through my mind when you ask that question. First of all, the reason why you would ask that question is because there are churches that actually have such a high standard of marriage, divorce, or remarriage that they believe that you should never marry more than once, no matter what. And there see, it's legalism. There are some Christian churches that are so legalistic, they'll say that, well, you're a man of the cloth, you're a pastor, and so you were married once to this person, and now they're, even though they're dead, you should never remarry again. Where does it say that in the Bible? Okay, there are rules that people make that the Lord never puts on you. And Linda gave a great example. The Catholic Church puts rules that if you're going to serve the Lord, you need to be celibate and not be. And now the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 7.
Well, celibate
7,
didn't work, did it?
Well, 1 Corinthians 7 does say that it's if you can be single and celibate unto the Lord, you can be much more effective because you're wholly devoted unto the Lord. And we'll look at this a little bit later. I saw it in our notes here that the Scriptures say he who is married will have trouble in this life because he has to care about the things of this world. But if you're not married and you're just solely devoted to the Lord, life can be much more simpler, but not everybody has the gift. Like Linda says, even Jesus said, not everyone has this calling or this gift of celibacy. And so if you don't have the gift of celibacy, if you're not called to be celibate, and then you take some kind of vow of celibacy, like many of our Catholic priests we've been hearing about, you're setting yourself up for trouble. You're putting a weight upon yourself that God never intended for you to go through.
Yes.
Now, of course, I also wonder more about this, that is it because they were celibate that they were tempted in these ways, or maybe they became a priest because they like men and so they just want to hang around with men. I don't, because a lot of these priests are found guilty of molesting boys. Okay, it's not usually women. It's weird. It's just a weird and sad and unfortunate thing. It is wrong, and the whole thing is when man takes upon himself rules and regulations that were never meant to be, that the Bible never tells you have to carry, you set yourself up for trouble and for failure. And that's what the Catholic Church has done by making rules that if you're going to be a priest, you can't be married. Okay. Now, there are certain orders that can get married. I wonder what their success rate is in remaining pure before the Lord. I don't know. I know very little about that. But back to I said two things. One is taking upon rules that, you know, churches putting rules upon people that you were never supposed to carry and never supposed to be under. And yet the second thing is, I want to go to the Scriptures. Romans chapter 7 does address this. And it talks about, let's look at Romans 7, verse 1. Do you not know, brethren, I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. And then he starts giving an analogy to marriage. You're married to the law, and what about marriage in everyday life? He says, for the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she is married to another man. Now, so read that carefully in whatever translation you prefer, but it pretty much tells you that when your spouse dies, you are free to remarry, okay? And so this issue of adding, well, a pastor can't do this. Look, pastors are people, and people are under the New Testament law, and this is what the New Testament says. Matter of fact, it's a carryover from the old as well. So that's Romans chapter 7 for the person who asked that question about pastors remarrying. Okay.
We have another question.
Okay.
Today, folks, we seem to be getting our questions via text or via Facebook, but you can always call in and ask too. And that's 208-377-3790. Now, here is a very interesting question. What if you already got remarried and then were convicted of not divorcing properly?
Wow.
Yeah, that is a heavy, heavy question. You may turn that camera towards you and answer it.
I don't want to do it. No, actually, that's called polygamy. And polygamy is illegal. And I think that depending on what state you're in.
Oh, I'm not thinking convicted legally. I'm thinking this must be conviction of the heart.
Oh.
That you're feeling conviction.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What I'm thinking. Up on Facebook, if that's not the question, could you clarify what kind of convicted that
well,
is?
Well, let's address both, okay? But we do need clarification. That's why I like callers, because we could dialogue a little bit here. First of all, if you find out that your first marriage was not legal, I mean, your first divorce was not legal, and you're not properly divorced, you actually are still married. That's polygamy. And then you need to go before the courts and find out where you stand, because I think depending on what state you're in and where you're at, that the second marriage may not be considered legal.
Legal.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you need to look at that legally, and that's just a big mess. Now, it's just as much a mess if you're a Christian, you divorced your spouse, and it was not proper, it was not a biblical divorce, and now you've gotten remarried, and you realize, I've done it wrong, okay? You know, we're going to talk about this some. It's in this paper. We're going to cover it all. But a real simple answer that Billy Graham used to say, and I kind of appreciate it, because that question would always trouble me. And I would think, does that mean you should divorce the second spouse? You know, I've always wrestled over this, because I tend to get a little legalistic. Just true confessions
uh-huh.
here. I do. I tend to just want to follow the letter of the law, and this is what the Bible says, and I tend to get a little legalistic that if you remarried and it was improper, that now you're living in a constant state of adultery.
Okay. We're on the
okay.
right track now.
Okay.
I got that confirmation.
Okay. Okay. So, now I forgot what I was going to say about that.
Billy Graham.
Oh, what Billy Graham would say. I remember him being asked this one time and hearing him answer in his Southern accent, you can't unscramble eggs. It's like, what? I mean, that's not a Bible answer. But pretty much he's saying, you know, what you're already bound together. And if you've remarried and it was all done wrong, you are remarried and you've got to go from there. You've got to repent before the Lord and ask him to renew and regenerate, you know, give you direction from here. Because I guess there are probably those, and I don't know of any particular, who would tell you should divorce this spouse and go back to your old one. Because for one thing, usually when you get to that point, your former spouse has moved on. And to me, what makes it easier is if your former spouse is now remarried, or your former spouse is now dating and sexually active. To me, these are all different shades of gray, so to speak, where you just go, well, I guess that's a big mess and you can't unscramble
shades
eggs.
Shades of gray means something different nowadays.
But you know what? They stole it. They stole it. Shades of gray was
but
always.
But you know what? We have to remember and go back with this, okay? If, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God forgives, you know. We got a story about this going way back, and maybe someday we may talk about our story and everything. For me, it was so easy to realize, oops, I did this wrong, to confess it before the Lord, to ask for forgiveness, and I was fine. Well, Mike wasn't so fine with it. For 3 years, he felt he had committed the unforgivable sin. So, you know what? It's kind of hard. You know, we went back to that. Come on, we got married in the 70s and kind of put things out of order within our relationship sexually. And it messed things up in the beginning. And we were both Christians and we knew we shouldn't have done that. But I was okay to say, Jesus forgives. Mike had a harder time in accepting Jesus forgives, and you go on. You're where you're at. You can't unscramble eggs whatsoever. And I think that's one of the kindest things we can do. We cannot sit there and convict people, condemn them, make life rough on them, because maybe it wasn't done right in the first place. Come on, if we look at everything in our lives, who does things right? the first time. No, that's why we're coming daily, begging for forgiveness, confessing our sins to the Lord, because we did something wrong that day, be it an attitude, an action, something within our heart, a thought, a deed. It doesn't matter. We're sinners in this fleshly body that's always fighting us, but we pick up each and every day, rededicating it to the Lord. We admit when we're wrong. We recognize it. Now, what we do definitely is we don't make that mistake a second time, okay? That's one thing I can tell you guys, because once there's one divorce, I have heard that it is then easier to do a second, then even easier to do a third, fourth, fifth, because the commitment, as Jeff was talking about when he was in here with us, is not the same. You don't put that same wholehearted 110% in that you did in that first marriage because you were hurt. Don't make the same mistake. Now you know better. Now you can't turn around and do the same thing. So, and I know this doesn't apply to the person who wrote this. They're not going to sit around and do that. But I know there's somebody out there listening that is a Christian, and you're on your second or third or fourth marriage, and it isn't going the way you like, and these irreconcilable differences are coming up, and you're thinking of dumping the person. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. God has spoken to you. He has spoken a word to you. You know what God's will is. You get in there, you give up your selfish ways, and you make this marriage work. There. Amen. I don't know where this came from except for the Lord, but that's not what I would have normally said. So I trust somebody out there hearing now or that's going to watch this later needs to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, the Jeff that we keep referring to is Jeff Brown, who oversees the ministry Grace for Divorce. If you have been divorced and you'd like to get into a small group fellowship that's going to help you work through what do I do now and how do I proceed and what about remarriage, gracefordivorce.com is the website for Grace for Divorce. Easy to remember, Grace for Divorce, no caps, no spaces, just gracefordivorce.com. And that's put on by Jeff Brown. We had him in the studio a couple weeks ago and interviewed him a little bit about this. And so if you have gone through a divorce, you've got lots of questions, you want to meet with a small group of people who are working through these issues, then I recommend that you go to gracefordivorce.com and begin to dialogue with Jeff Brown and others who are involved in this ministry.
And he's just started a class, I think he was saying, at Calvary Chapel Boise. Yes, we do promote each other at as Calvary Chapels, and it's okay if you need to go to a class and work these things out. You can also call Calvary Chapel Boise, but get in touch with Jeff, and he will help you work through this, okay? Been there, done that type of thing for him, so he knows what you're feeling, and he really, really wants to follow what the Bible says about this and help others to do that too.
Okay, so the next thing we want to talk about when in reference to remarriage is some of the exceptions where you've got a clear sailing. And one of those, I believe, is if you were divorced as a non-Christian. Your former marriage, you were not a Christian, and you divorced, and you were not a Christian when all that happened. Big mess. And does that make a difference? Let me read to you our next paragraph here. Because when we are born again, all things have become new, and we become a new creation in Christ, we believe a divorced Christian would be free to remarry in the Lord if his or her divorce took place before he or she became a Christian. And again, the verse that we usually use for that is 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so I really believe that when you're born again, God wipes your slate clean. The things that you did before you're a Christian, the life that you lived, you're a new creature in Christ, and that is all water under the bridge, or let's say that's all under the blood of Jesus Christ, okay? Now, that may not always work out if you go to a court and you're convicted of some serious crime like murder or rape or something, and you say, well, that was when I was a non-Christian, that won't hold up in a court of law, okay? But in God's eyes, just know that if you're born again, your sins are washed away, you start fresh, and it may not, by the way, if you're married as a non-Christian and now you're born again, that doesn't mean everything starts fresh and you're free to remarry, okay?
Yeah.
We're talking about somebody who was married and divorced as a non-Christian. Okay, so let me just keep reading here. We believe a divorced Christian would be free to remarry in the Lord. If his or her divorce took place before he or she became a Christian. Let me give you a verse for that, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting with verse 24. And Paul writes this. He says, brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. Now, concerning virgins, there's a context here, so you think, well, we're not talking about virgins. Well, let me just stick with me here. Concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. Now, he's just saying, you know what? I think, to put it in my own words, the best course of action when you're not quite certain what to do is to seek the Lord and hold course. Whatever state you find yourself in, whatever condition you find yourself in, and now you're seeking the Lord and you weren't before, seek the Lord and hold course and wait for further instructions. He will lead you. He will guide you. Let me continue reading here in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 7. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. If you are single, now you're a Christian, now you're wondering what to do. If a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. Now, here's that verse I was telling you about that a lot of people miss, okay? He's talking, first of all, to a virgin, and he's saying, if you're virgin and you're wondering, oh, it'd be wrong, because in Corinth, there was such sexual immorality going on that when they realized what sexual sin was, there was a temptation in the Christian church to go too much the other way and say all sex is wrong. Sex is evil. It's not evil. Okay. And so Paul had to actually say to the virgins in the church, it's not a sin to get married and have sex. Okay. But if you're a virgin, you're free to marry and that would be okay. But I want you to know something. If you get married, there's going to be challenges with marriage. Such will have trouble in the flesh. And he's saying, you virgins out there who are used to just being pure before the Lord and walking with God, and that's all you had to worry about. Now that you have a husband or now that you have a wife, you're going to worry about how to please your husband, how to please your wife, how to live in such a way that you consider them now and not just you, not just, what does the Lord want me to do today? What's God's will for my life today? Now you're saying, what does my husband want for dinner? And what would my wife like to do today? And so it does complicate things. I personally think it's a good complication. I like being married. I wouldn't want it any other way. But he's warning the virgins, it's okay. Don't fret over it. Sex is not evil. Having sex within marriage is not a sin. But if you do get married, you're going to have trouble in this life. I hope I'm making myself clear or maybe not belaboring this too much. Let me continue reading the next paragraph. We believe a Christian who has divorced his or her spouse because of adultery, and you could look back at what we've looked at in about adultery, is free in the Lord to remarry. But any new marriage must only be to a believer.
Yes.
Now, I've got some verses to look at on that. But the basic statement is, if you went through a divorce because your spouse was unfaithful, there's nothing in the scripture that indicates that when that marriage is dissolved because of adultery, now you're damned for the rest of your life to be single. I don't think that. Now, there are some verses in Matthew 19 and others where people, without looking at all the other scriptures, they jump to the conclusion that Jesus says you can't remarry. But Jesus says anyone who divorces his wife except for the cause of adultery commits adultery. And so keep in mind, you got to look at the rest of the scriptures, not just one verse at a time. Let's look at a couple of these verses. One is Matthew chapter 5, verse 32. And Jesus says, and here's one of them. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Now, the clear meaning of this, I believe, when you've looked at all these other scriptures, is if, and in this culture that Paul or Jesus was in at this time, if you divorce a woman was very dependent upon the men of the culture to have a man support her and take care of her. That was the culture of that time. And what Jesus is saying is, if you just kick your wife to the curb, you divorce her, and you have no right to divorce her when she hasn't committed adultery, then you're causing her to commit adultery because she has got no choice but to find a man because she's out on the street, okay? That's what Jesus is saying. He also says, whoever marries a woman who's divorced commits adultery. Now, this is if a woman has divorced unbiblically, or if she's divorced because she committed adultery, then you need to keep your hands off. You need to stay away. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 5:32. Look at a couple others. Matthew 19:9, Jesus says, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. This is pretty much the same thing. Whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. So it's pretty much the same thing. Let's look at one more from Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. And this is, I think we even read this earlier, yeah, but let me read it anyway. A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband dies, she's at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. Now, the part I want to stress right here is, when you are at a place where you can biblically remarry, when you've studied the scriptures and you could see clearly that, okay, even though I'm divorced, God is giving me the freedom to remarry. I want to underline these four last words in this verse, only in the Lord. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. I think it's Thursday, so we have one more day. Choose wisely. If you've divorced, don't jump out of the frying pan into the fire. Choose a man or woman of God. Now, we don't have much time, so we'll just end here, but we'll pick up here tomorrow. Lord bless, and thanks for listening.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in his wonderful face. I want to grow dim, standing next to you.